Is this the Krusty Krab?
No, this is Hard Rock Lunch Box.
Is this the Krusty Krab?
No, this is Hard Rock Lunch Box.
Is this the Krusty Krab?
No, this is Hard Rock Lunch Box. I'm not a Krusty Krab.
What is up, everybody, and welcome to another edition of the Hard Rock Lunchbox. It's January 20th, 2022. That's a lot of twos. A lot of twos in that. Oh, my God. How's everybody doing? How's everything going? I feel like joining the conversation. You can reach out in the chat. We're at 99WNRR.com. If that's too much, you can always go to HardRockLunchbox.com, click the link to the live show, yada, yada, yada. It's snowing here in the Northeast. According to my weather app, it is doing exactly when it said it was going to do it, but it's seeming like there's a little bit more snow than it said it was going to do. That is not currently a problem for me. I'm working from home today, which is fine. I do have rehearsal tonight. It'll be good. It'll be good now that our Revel 9 show is back on. Yay! Because, you know, nothing boosts attendance like, you know, indecision and, you know, details being up in the air. But I'm supposed to be receiving tickets today. So, who knows? But yeah, January 29th, that is 2 days or a week from... a week from this coming Saturday, it will be the show. The show we booked first, post COVID. As any Revel 9 fan would remember, we canceled about 20 shows once COVID kind of hit. Thank you. We played our very last show in March of 2020, just as the word COVID was becoming familiar to everybody. We played it at Revolution. We played it for a cancer benefit. We walked in and Pauline, the owner of the former Club Revolution, had basically soaked the place in bleach. So it smelled like we were in a YMCA locker room for swimming lessons. And I will tell you, I have never smelled a cleaner venue in my entire life, which is probably why I did not catch COVID that day. Thank you, Pauline, for that. But yeah, we had to cancel about 20 shows, including our own CD release show, which was slated for June of that year. That was when we were going to release Do No Harm. We eventually released it in December of that year because we basically gave up on waiting for the world to get better. And it would appear that we've made the right choice at this point because the world still hasn't gotten any better. It's just kind of still a mess. But, you know, there's a bright side. Spring will be here eventually. We are already past the shortest day of the year. We are already well into winter. Yeah, man, we're a month in. We're a month into winter. It means we got 2 months to get out. And things will get better in the spring, I'm sure. But my point is that this was the first show that we booked in the COVID era because when we booked it last June, we thought, there's no possible way that COVID could still be a thing come January of 2022. Everybody was pushing their tours off. Everybody was pushing their tours from 2021 off to 2022. And now it's funny because the 2022 tours are starting to get canceled. They are not pushing them as far back. It looks like they're pushing them from January and February to April and May. So that's probably a good sign and sort of jives with what I was just saying about spring and summer being on the way. But who knows, man? Omicron is leaving the cities. Or is decreasing sharply in the cities. And now it is heading to the rural area where, in my opinion, it completely belongs. So hopefully we'll take care of some of that nonsense out in the rural areas and we'll just be on our way. World Health Organization does warn this is probably not the last variant. If you know anything about round Earth, you would know that the Southern Hemisphere is now in summer. So they will be heading into the fall and the winter, and they tend to be a little less vaccinated because they tend to be a little less developed than the Northern Hemisphere. It's no judgment, just kind of the way it seems to be. So new variants could certainly spring up there when they hit their winter and have that waiting for us a year from now when we hit ours again. So, yeah. Although Dr. Fauci did say it is likely that the pandemic of COVID will end and it will become endemic, which means it's just something that's always kind of there. And that's not really great, but it'll do. Like, the flu is kind of endemic, right? And, you know, with the constant fight against vaccines and masking and stuff like that, like, there's no other thing you can really hope for. You know, people constantly, like, if you see stuff on social media, like, people are constantly posting about how, like, hey, man, I got vaccinated and I still got this thing. Like, obviously, the vaccine doesn't work. And as I've said in repeated top 20s, that's not how vaccines work. That's also not how the math on that particular thing works. The reality is, like, even polio, which has basically been all but eradicated on the face of the earth, you are still recommended to get your adult booster if you travel outside of the country. And you want to know why that is? It's not because the vaccines don't work. It's because they work exactly how they're supposed to. They protect enough of the population that the virus just kind of goes away. So in places in the world where that has not been true, you can actually still go get polio if you want. Like, you can. It's not been really eradicated from the world. It's been eradicated from our world because it's one of the few requirements that you need to go to school. You know, like, what are the other ones? Like, pertussis, measles. I think chickenpox is a required one. Like, when you require these things in school, and then you require most kids to go to school, then most people end up being vaccinated for these things. So as soon as they turn COVID into a vaccination that is required to go to school, which they've all but done in the big cities, you'll see that the COVID will eventually die out and just become this sort of, wow, you got COVID? That's so weird. How'd you get measles? You know, that kind of thing. And that's fine, and that's kind of where it's going to be in a society as large as ours. But people are always talking about, like, why do I still get it? It's because most people are still infected with it. Like, can't really do anything about that. Like, there is no 100% vaccine. It doesn't work that way. In fact, what vaccines do, and you can say it with me at home if you want, what vaccines do is they arm the body with antibodies so you can better and more quickly defend against an attack. It doesn't mean you don't get it. It's not like you're wearing a giant condom over your body and tying it up at the top. It means you're better able to fight and defend and more quickly respond to these things. You still get it, but, like, your body responds to it faster. And if you don't have these antibodies, it takes a lot longer for your body to respond to it. Like, I don't understand, and I'm growing so tired of people that, like, just don't understand this sort of stuff. Because it's so simple, and it's so straightforward, and they've said it a million times. And I tend to forgive people that just don't understand things, like, in math and sciences and stuff like that, because sometimes it's hard. I had a conversation with Charlotte just last night, Charlotte is taking some advanced level mathematics for a 10th grader that just, you know, I can't do most of it, you know, and I'm really, really good at math. She said to me, because some of the other girls on her soccer team were saying, like, you know, they're just having trouble with math. And she said to me kind of on the side, she's like, I don't understand why people have trouble with math. And I said, you're just going to have to kind of get used to that because it's something that you happen to be very good at and not everybody does. But she doesn't understand why people aren't good at it. Like, mathematics is science and it's a hard science. It's not subjective. It's not like, you know, like aesthetics or psychology or stuff like that. And I'm a psych major. Like, I have my degree in psychology and I'll speak, you know, for days about the soft sciences versus the hard sciences. Like, hard sciences are hard sciences. Like, 2 + 2 = 4 all day, every day. I mean, yeah, you can get into theoretical physics and mathematics and stuff like that. You start dealing with letters instead of numbers and anything Einstein ever remotely discussed, and you'll come into theoretical physics and mathematics, and that's a little bit different because that's not science. It's science. That's more of a soft science because it's theoretical, and by nature, that's what theoretical means. But she was, like, almost lamenting. She's like, I don't understand why people just don't understand mathematics. And I'm sure if you are somebody that does understand mathematics, you know people that don't. And if you're somebody that doesn't understand mathematics, then you just totally get it. Sometimes those concepts are a little foreign. Yeah, most of us can add. Most of us can subtract. Most of us can do all the really cool things that we all know the things for that we've studied since second grade. But, like, yeah, can you do a logarithm in your head? Can you do exponents in your head? Can you do cube roots in your head? Like, I can. Most people cannot. got, but I also took it for 3 years in college, all the way up to differential equations in calculus, which is Calc 3 if you're playing at home, which I would not recommend. So I'm usually forgiving of people that just don't understand some sciences and stuff like that because it's difficult to understand. And if you came to me and were like, I just don't understand how mRNA stuff works, I could explain it to you and I could explain like what it does and how it causes the body to use its own engines to build the proteins that are, you know, representative of the vaccine. So you can basically just fight your own. You're fighting your own Franken vaccine that you've just created and stuff like that. So you're building antibodies to the protein that you just created. That's why I don't like it. Like, it's why I don't like the mRNA technology. I understand it, and I don't like it. But if you came to me and didn't understand that, like, totally cool, man. You don't understand genetics or the way RNA and DNA work together? Fine. Totally, totally get it. But if I tell you that vaccines do not work like a suit of armor, and even a suit of armor has holes in it, like, people, it's not like no knights ever died, right? Like, it's not 100%, you know, not only is it not 100% effective, it's not a wall. It's never been a wall. They've never been designed to be walls. That's why people in their adulthood get measles or shingles or whatever it's called when you're an adult. Or, no, that's chickenpox. When they get measles or they get chickenpox or shingles as an adult, like, you can get reinfected with stuff. Like, there's a lot of bioindividuality anyway. But the reality of it is, like, you need to understand that it's not 100% effective. It's never been 100% effective. But also, aside from all of that, how vaccines work is very simple. They, again, defend you from outside, you know, extraneous forces like viruses and stuff better and quicker. They help you do that. Like, vaccines don't do anything other than make your body stronger. You know, like, if you want to look at it like Spider-Man is a vaccine, like, it's kind of close to that, but, like, even Spider-Man can be killed. Like, I mean, not recently, but, like, he can be. I'm sure if he wanted to. I'm sure Thanos could kill him if he wanted to, because that vaccine is not 100% effective. And that's... It bothers me so much when people just refuse... Like, it's one thing to not be intelligent, and it's another thing to be dumb, right? Like, and then stand and die on that rock of being dumb. It takes a lot out of me. And, I'll get to why that's bothering me so much in a minute. But, like, let's do some light housekeeping, shall we? All right. So the new top 20 is out today, and that's the one I'm talking about. Voting rights. I strongly recommend you checking it out if you didn't hear it. I do read a lot about what was in the Voting Rights Act, and it's important now because the Senate basically has decided to not change the rules of the Senate, which I agree with. I don't think they should change the filibuster rules, and they went ahead last night, and that's official. They are not changing the filibuster rules, mainly thanks to Senators Joe Manchin and Kyrsten Sinema. I will point out as a side note, there was a great article, I think in Mother Jones or Vice, about Kyrsten Sinema, about how all the big power brokers, all the big Democratic donors and power brokers and stuff are abandoning her flat out, especially somebody like Emily's List, which is a huge, huge, huge women's rights organization. And for them to pull out of working with Kyrsten Sinema basically all but dooms her next chance at re-election. Now, the possibility is that Sinema and Manchin may both turn into Republicans and run as Republicans or independents, and honestly, that's fine by me. If they're not going to play with the Democratic agenda, which traditionally voting rights is, then they shouldn't be Democrats, and that's fine by me. And, like, again, like, my stance is, like, if we see another Democratic administration in my lifetime, like, I will be surprised. Like, I'm not going to be like, I'm going to eat my hat, but I probably would eat my hat. So, I recommend that one. I recommend the top 20 anyway because it's getting shit reviews and stuff like that, and I don't know if it's me personally, but I'm certainly taking it personally, so that's just me. But also, the Talk 20 is also out, and that was my interview with Rally V. It's a great interview. The dude is hella cool. I enjoyed the interview. I actually enjoyed the interview so much that I actually enjoyed putting it all together and posting it and all that other stuff. So do check that out. Regardless, I'll be continuing the Talk 20 series. I've got a couple more people that want to be interviewed, and I've got a couple people that I want to interview from, like, all sort of walks of life. Shit has been really busy lately, so it's just taking me forever. Also on Bacon is my podcast, also on Strangerhood TV, of course. Their full interview with Rally V was released on Monday. And also they're doing an incredibly adorable episode with Gavin and Lacey, who are two of my four favorite Waymans. Actually, that's not true. I adore Mike's mom and dad, too. And his sister. Like, his sister's very nice. But his mom and dad are just so adorable. So I can't even say two of my four favorite Waymans. But two of my seven favorite Waymans. They're just two of my favorite Waymans. Let's just go with that. And I'm not biased because they introduced me for my what I consider to be stellar acceptance speech on the Bimpy Awards, although that did not hurt their stock at all. They just happen to be adorable, and they're at that adorable age, so, you know, I'm a sucker. I'm a parent. It's just what's up. So I recommend watching that. I actually haven't. I started watching it yesterday, and I just got to finish it because I think those kids are awesome. And honestly, Mike's not getting any younger. And so you're probably looking at the future of Bacon Is My Podcast right there. So might as well get in on that ground floor. Also, coming up in slightly hard to believe news, the compilation that we were working on, the Heroes That Made Us compilation, sponsored by the After Hours Review, is finally coming out. It was supposed to come out in June of last year, and now it looks like it's finally coming out on January 28th, which reminds me, I have to message Daniel, make sure he's got the ISRC code right and all that other stuff. Oh, Jesus Christ. I've got to write that down. Excuse me. I have to take care of some business. ISRC code for Daniel. See? Taking notes. That's how it works on a live show. You think information stops just because we're a live show? Not on this show. But also on this show. Anyway, so we got that, and that's coming up. Yep, super advanced lateness, but still January 28th. There's about 12 things on that. I meant to print out the track list, but I didn't. I know that we are on it. Fame, New York is on it. Fame, his handle is New York. Uyuwawa is on it. Dino Skate Park is also on it. They lead off with Every Time I Die, which is ironic since Every Time I Die just broke up. I don't know if they broke up because Dino Skate Park covered their song, but it'd certainly be a good enough reason for me to break up. And I kid the dinos over in the skate park. I kid. But I'll have more information on that. Maybe I'll even have some advanced play for it for the show tomorrow. Next week when we do the Hard Rock Lunchbox, but who knows? We'll see. And then upcoming show news, of course, Rebel 9, all new episode, and Mickey Licks will be Saturday, January 29th at Barnum Ballroom. Tickets will be on. I will have the tickets. I'm supposed to have them today or tomorrow, and you can get them from me directly, and I'll mail them to you as late as Monday or Tuesday of next week, just in order to get them to you. They'll be $12 from the band direct. They'll be $15 of the show. You can get them from Eventbrite as well. But there you got all kinds of fees and stuff like that. And then, of course, there is a show coming up in March and another show coming up in April. Well, I'll keep you posted on those after we get through the Barnum show, because that's just the way I'm going to play this. And the one thing I wanted to talk to you about, now that we're, 17 minutes into the top 20, is I'd like to talk a little bit about social media, because one of the things that people constantly bitch about on the right is about censorship and about how they're being unfairly censored, and their grand poobah, Mr. former President Trump, was kicked off all these platforms. The reason they were kicked off these platforms is because they are violating community policy or their community standards. And the problem with that, in the increased violation of those community standards, is that the brush is getting wider and wider and wider, and it's starting to sweep things that really aren't violations of community standards at all. I mean, you want to talk about policing free speech? I mean, social media has been doing that for the past year, solidly on both sides. And the reason I bring it up is because I am currently the proud owner of, again, another restricted account on Facebook. Yeah, thank you very much. In fact, they're punishing me in a brand new way to me, which is fun. I got punished once before on April 9th, and the reason... The reason I got in trouble is actually my post was a response to Brian Mattis, and basically what I said is, but when half the country sees migrants as somehow less human than your average fat worthless American, you will have a problem. That got me kicked off of Facebook for 24 hours because I referred to some Americans as fat and worthless. I want to tell you right here on 99WNRR.com and the Hard Rock Lunchbox, if you don't think there are some fat, worthless Americans, you're not living in America or you're blind. But more recently and more importantly, I got much harsher. I got could not post for 24 hours, and then I could not take part in groups for 3 days. Not that I care, because I don't do any group work. clearly, otherwise I'd be promoting a lot more. But here's the thing that really got me. My posts are now being tempered in your newsfeed. They are being moved lower in the newsfeed, and they're being moved lower in the newsfeed for the next 16 days. It's been like a solid countdown, so like it's for the next. So it's going to be, I think, a total of like 30 or 45 days or something like that. And the reason why, like, I really want to just point out, like, why this happened and what I got in trouble for saying is one of the greatest things to me, because all I really did was kind of cite the law of the land and the Constitution, and that somehow violates the standards. So I'm arguing with some dude. He's not being a total dick, which is why I bothered to engage at all. But I was saying about January 6th about how, like, I would have a lot more respect for people if they would just shut up and own it. Like, everyone's like, yeah, we had a revolution, blah, 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 until everyone's like, you guys had a revolution. Like, no, it wasn't a revolution. It wasn't anything worse than Black Lives Matter. Like, which to me is the most disingenuous thing. And honestly, on January 6th, I said exactly that, because people were saying, like, no, it wasn't us, it was Antifa. And I said, well, if you honestly thought your democracy was crumbling before you, and you just stood by while Antifa, like, went into the Capitol to make you guys look bad, and you guys did nothing, then you guys are the biggest pussies I've ever seen. Like, that's, you believe your democracy is crumbling and you do nothing? Like, you're an embarrassment to America. Like, honestly, like, you should be doing something. And that's been my kind of take all along. And it kind of led to what this was saying, because this dude was saying, like, he didn't agree and people were there just, like, you know, being jerks and stuff like that. But he said something like, I don't have it in front of me, but he's like, he said something along the lines, but I wish they got a hold of Nancy Pelosi. And I'm like, hey, dude, like, you can think whatever you want, but, like, in this country, we don't actually get a hold of our elected leaders. Like, that's like what they do in banana republics. Like, we have removed regimes that do that kind of stuff. Granted, we've also installed regimes that do that kind of stuff, but that's another show. But this was really about, you know, the ownership of what it was, and I answered him. So he gave me a whole bunch of reasons, like, you know, this, they should have looked into this, and, like, I'm not interested in fighting election fraud. There was no election fraud. End of story. Anybody that tells you different is a liar. If you want to check my feed for, like, any argument I've ever had, you will see it always ends in my favor. Every single time. Because there was no election fraud, except up in people's minds. And you'll remember at the beginning of the show when I was talking about people that are dumb and unintelligent. That's kind of what I'm talking about. So he goes through a whole bunch of things. So I say this, quote, yes, but even if any of those reasons were indeed valid, they, meaning the insurrectionists, protesters, I don't know, whatever you want to call it, the January 6th guys that entered the Capitol, even if those reasons were indeed valid, they should stand by them and not be such incredible pussies about how it was no big deal. People had a little rebellion. They lost. They should be hanged, not praised. Now, there is nothing wrong with that, because that is how the law stands. Treason and sedition, people get hanged for that. Nathan Hale got hanged for it. Give me liberty and give me death. Or give me liberty or give me death. He didn't want both. Give me liberty or give me death. And he was hanged. Plenty of traitors were hanged during the Revolution. Plenty of traitors were hanged during the Civil War. Plenty of traitors were hanged throughout the entire course of American history, because that is the punishment for treason. And that's what I was saying. And they had a rebellion. They lost. They should be hanged. They're treasons. They're treasonous. They're traitors. Like, it's really that simple. And Facebook decided to ban me for 24 hours, prevent me from working in groups for three days, and now has lowered my posts for 30 to 45 days, which is such an abuse of power and freedom of speech. But it's their platform. And again, they're allowed to do whatever they want. But I just want you to understand, like, what's actually happening out there. Because the brush that people are painting with, like fact checkers and stuff like that, like, you can lie on Facebook all you want. And maybe sometimes you'll get caught, like, with COVID misinformation. But I said something that's factually accurate in response to somebody talking about getting a hold of the Speaker of the House. And I got smacked down for it. And yes, of course I appealed it, but that's against their community standards, because I guess you're not allowed to hang traitors on Facebook. And that's something you should know if you're going to continue to use it, because the the downside of it is that your filter bubble is not only being now filtered by the people that you choose to be with, which as you unfriend people, by the way, if you keep unfriending people, I have zero respect for you. But your bubble keeps getting smaller and smaller anyway, but now you're getting smacked down for saying something that's actually true, but somebody just doesn't like it. That's exactly why we have freedom of speech in this country. And again, I don't care because it's Facebook and it doesn't matter so much to me about where people are getting their information, but that is where people are getting their information. So keep that in mind, that a lot of truths are being kept from you because it hurts somebody's feelings. And you want to talk about hurting people's feelings, you got to check out what Ron DeSantis. Ron Dickhead DeSantis of the semi-great state of Florida is trying to pull this week, but I don't really have time to talk about that now. So I guess I'll just kind of leave it. The downside of this, of course, is that I can't promote my show on Barnum Ballroom on the 29th because my posts are showing up lower in everybody's feeds. Yay for me! So when I start sharing, if anybody happens to see my post, which I doubt, if you could share it too, I'd certainly appreciate it. But I'm going to get off the top 20 and onto the Hard Rock Lunchbox. And like I said, man, the enemy is all around you. Just sort of need to know where to look, right? Rage Against the Machine?
Hard Rock Lunchbox.
We're talking a little in the chat about just the whitewashing, basically, of social media in the world. And, excuse me, one of my biggest problems, one of my biggest beefs with the left specifically, because it is primarily the left that has really started the whole PC movement and being offended and all that other stuff. Like, there really is a place in this world for protection from hate speech, but from offensive speech, you're not going to get me on that one. Like, you really just aren't. Like, I suppose there are times when you get to the level of bullying. See, I had a very different high school experience, for better or for worse, than a lot of people have had. And I didn't really realize the level of bullying because I was bullied to a degree when I was younger. And I don't think I bullied so much, but I certainly acted in accordance with being a high school, you know, junior high school boy. And we definitely called people names and stuff like that. But to be fair, I call most of those people the same name, same names, you know, for the same reasons today. I was like, I am not very politically correct, much to the disappointment of my offspring. I mean, I do try. Like, I've gotten in some pretty big arguments, specifically with the boys about my use of language and stuff. And I grew up believing in intent and malice as reasons to actually stand and defend. And as somebody that has actually physically fought people for being bullies and for being incredibly offensive or hate-filled and stuff like that, like, I feel very justified and grounded in the person that I am, and I don't really have to make any apologies for the way that I am and the way that I act, but I do realize that as times change, people have different standards that they want me to uphold. And, you know, if I care enough about them, which I do, of course, my kids, excuse me, I'll make those changes as much as possible. But, you know, getting back to the difference between hate speech and offensive speech, like, you know, who cares? Like, we were talking in the chat right here about how, you know, people call you snowflakes. Like, I don't care about being called a snowflake. I'm with you. Like, snowflakes are a beautiful thing. They're a one-of-a-kind thing. They're something to be treasured. You know, Dimitri Martin has a great joke about rainbows and how he's kind of disappointed, or not. He's disappointed because the LGBTQ community has basically taken over the rainbow. But he's like, he's not gay, but he likes rainbows too. But he can't have anything with a rainbow on it unless it's like underneath it says, you know, not gay but supportive and stuff like that. You know, the completely dry delivery of Dimitri Martin. And if you haven't seen any Dimitri Martin specials, just go to Netflix and just watch any single one of them. They're all always so funny. But yeah, I don't have actually a problem with the thought of being called a snowflake. What's funny is that what does bother me about that stuff, what bothers me specifically about that stuff, is that that slam, much, or I'm air quoting, that slam, much like, you know, let's go Brandon or F Joe Biden or whatever, like, these are the weapons of dumb people that think they're funny, and this is going to sound hella arrogant, but I don't care. I cannot stand when people think that they are being funny when they're not. I know that's a thing. I abhor people that think they're being funny when they aren't. It is just something that has bothered me since the beginning of time. Like, beginning of my time. I don't know about all time, but, like, beginning of my time. Like, I hate that. And people think they are getting in such a jab at you by calling you a snowflake that I end up fulfilling that particular prophecy because it pisses me off. Like, you think you're so goddamn clever? Dude, you, how about, why don't we just, like, read an eighth grade sentence together? How about we try that? But so the only way I've really been able to sort of turn that around for me... Oops, sorry, I didn't mean to hit that twice. I don't deserve two applauses, ladies and gentlemen. These aren't the Bimpies, where I definitely deserve two of them. Who said that? Who said that? But the best way I've found to really kind of get back at any of that is to direct those insults to people that are actually that. And I will tell you, I get in, you know, I am truly barely on social media anymore, as evidenced by the fact that I only just found out that my account was restricted, by the way, for that. I mean, I knew about the 24-hour thing because they let me know that right away, but I didn't know about the falling down on the feeds till actually yesterday. So, like, I'm not on it. So between January 6th and 20th, I haven't really been on it other than to change my profile picture, which is kind of what I do. It's kind of what I use social media for at this point. But, so what I have found is that, you know, anytime I'm making a point that somebody doesn't agree with, they just unfriend me or block me. Like, that's the school that we're at right now, which is honestly fine, because you shouldn't be friends with these people anyway. And honestly, I'm stunned to, like, I don't know how I'm friends with these people. I know I've been on Facebook for a very, very long time. I have, because my sister, my littlest sister, Leah, worked at Facebook when actually it was still only open to college kids. And I had an account because she gave me an account. So I had that access. I had a band page, like, you know, like all that other stuff as it came out. So I've been on there a long time. So I really don't remember, like, where all these friend requests came from. But a lot of them are regional, which means they probably came from shows. They probably saw us, met us, like, you know, and friend you on Facebook back in the day. And now, you know, it's fine that I'm culling my friends on Facebook, and I'm air quoting that again, because they're just going, you know, they're just unfriending me. But the problem that really bothers me is, like, in the middle of a conversation, like, that you're so sure about, and you don't have the balls to stand up and hold your end of the conversation. I had an argument with an actual attorney who fucking told me that he had reviewed several cases that should have been turned over for prosecution, and I was about election fraud and stuff like that. I was like, just link me to one, dude. Link me to one. And then he's like, I bet you don't even know what sedition is. So I defined it for him, and then he unfriended me. So, in, like, basically all I can do is, yeah, that's a snowflake. So I publicly posted this dude's name. He's a snowflake and a loser, and, you know, all that other stuff. So, but anyway, the best use I've had for snowflake is to call people that actually use the term snowflakes, because it means something to them, even though it doesn't mean something to anybody else, because it's not really an insult as it is, like, kind of nice. You know, like, yeah, thanks, man. I'm a snowflake. I'm a rainbow. Yeah, all those good things. I'm also a super intelligent person compared to you and your mom. But, like, hey, that's just me. I've seen the band Korn twice live. Once, twice. They are a stunningly good band live. Mainly because the band is very good, but mainly because Jonathan Davis is one of the greatest frontmen to ever step on stage. And as he tells it, as they were coming up, Jonathan was treated like absolute shit in school, and that dude had a chip on his shoulder and something to prove. And I do not condone the kind of abuse he must have taken in junior high school and high school, but I will reap the rewards from it. And Jonathan, man, if you're listening, I don't think it was worth it, but goddamn, way to, like, turn it around and make it yours. A+, my dude. It's brand new from Korn. It's Forgotten. On the Box.
Hard Rock Lunch Box.
into the light. It's time to even the score. This is the battle cry. This is the march to war. We can resist and defy the ones who've taken your soul. Everyone join this fight. It's time we take back control. It's time to run to the light. It's time to even the score. This is the
Ah, man, Danger Club. Have not listened to them in a hot minute. If you guys remember checking them out at a new to you, near you, not too long ago. Well, actually, quite a bit long ago at this point. I will say our show in March, I have high hopes for, because if it goes really well and becomes the kind of place we can actually just do business with, that might give me an opportunity to bring the new to yous back. And I definitely have bands I'm interested in bringing in, so that could be a lot of fun. But more on that in March. But I am looking forward to it. I have not looked forward to something like this in a very long time, so I feel like there's a lot that could go right with this, so no pressure. Speaking of new bands, or bands that used to be new, that are no longer new, has anybody heard anything from Pathmaker lately? I have not heard any sight or sound of them. I think they were looking for a guitar player at one point, but I don't remember, but I don't know. I feel like hearing them, so I'm going to play them right now in the box, because I am the master of the box. No phrasing.
The story once told, resolved it on phones, begun.
As I've said repeatedly over the years, the second greatest thing about this particular job, the first greatest thing is, of course, getting to hang out with good people like you week after week. Thank you for listening. Thank you for being part of the chat if you are. Thank you for being part of my chat if you're just part of my chats and stuff like that. That's fine, too. Contributing any way you want is always good with me. But the second greatest thing about this job, that I do have this kind of compulsion to seek out, find, and pass on new music or new-to-me music every single week. And I've been back on the treadmill, which doesn't seem like all that big of a deal, but I am because I've reworked my basement so I can work out here at least minimally, because I'm not going back to the gym for as long as I need to keep wearing a mask, because it is almost impossible for me to do any cardio there. And honestly, cardio is really what I need the most. I have weights here so I can do those, and I've always been able to, but cardio has been the thing. As much as I hate the treadmill, I finally turned the corner on. I hate it. Now I just need to do it. But that's anywhere from 20 minutes to half an hour where I'm listening to whatever, including back on Discover Weekly and Release Radar. And what I found this week on Release Radar was so funny, because I was just listening to it in passing. I was actually working and listening to it. It wasn't even working out. Just listening to, and it, this song just kind of came in and came in really fast. And it was funny because I was actually just talking to Andy of Andy Sexton fame, because he had sent me music that he's working on. He sent me this total Andy Sexton, typical earworm, ear candy kind of song. And I said the only thing I would really do with it is cut it shorter, because Andy, it's not that Andy tends to go longer, but generally the people that he works with goes longer, because, you know, you have a formula and it's supposed to be this, that, and the other thing. Like, once I got rid of those particular shackles in songwriting and was able to write songs that are, like, under 3 minutes long, like, I was so much happier in, like, yeah, that's the song, man. I'm not going to crowbar a verse in here or a chorus or a bridge or a coda. Like, I'm not doing any of that stuff. Like, who gives a shit? Like, it's a Rebel 9 song. You like it, you don't. It's really been that way 10 years, nothing's going to change. Anyway, so Andy had done that, and I was like, oh, yeah, songs that end here. And I looked at it, I was like, that would be like just over 2 minutes. And I'm like, this would be freaking awesome. And within an hour, I was just sitting there working, and I'm listening, and this really, like, true punk, like, punk rock, I don't even know, like, it's kind of like speed rock meets punk, but I guess it's punk. I don't know. Dude, for as much as I've run this radio show, I still have a lot of trouble with particular genre, you know, borders and boundaries, and maybe because I just don't care. Like, it's something that I enjoy, but I will tell you, the song ended way too fast for me, and actually, I was like bopping along to it, and then it just ended, and I was like, what the hell just happened? Like, did it shut off? Did Spotify just totally stop? Because not like that ever doesn't happen. But, like, I was looking, and I went to look at it, and it was like a minute and 36 seconds of this song. I'm like, this is my new favorite goddamn song. Or at least my new favorite goddamn song under 2 minutes. So I'm playing it for you right now on the box. If you blink, you could miss it, but maybe we'll play it again next week. The band is called Billy Talent, which I had never heard of. The song is called Judge. It's called Judge because he says judge about 300 times in that 96 seconds. But remember that. It's 96 seconds long. This is a banger.
Hard Rock Lunch Box.
You know, I think tied for second greatest thing about this show is I really do get to play whatever I want, whenever I want, just because I like it. But, dude, it's so awesome when everyone seems to like it, too. It just proves to me over and over and over again that a good song is a good song is a good song. And now it's time for some White Stripes, because that's a damn good song.
Hard Rock Lunch Box.
Yeah, man. Little Nick D there. I like his stuff. Like, I can't quite place it. Like, it's definitely got, like, some hip-hop stuff, but there's some like, Pop Smart stuff going on in there. I definitely dig. I keep finding more and more stuff in Nick D, so I'm digging it, so hopefully you are, too. So, out this week, wow, I have a big clap delay. Sorry, I'll stop that. I'm sure that's not annoying at all. So out this week, not only is the Top 20, as I mentioned earlier in the show, but also the Talk 20, the third edition, which is basically the live interview we do here during the Hard Rock Lunchbox whenever we do them. We're looking at doing, like, maybe every other week, every third week. It works out really well. Like, it definitely helped to get the push from Mikey to, like, start you know, handling like a guest or two. And I've definitely had the idea of doing like these short interviews, like in the middle of the Hard Rock Lunchbox. And this is selfish, and I'm sorry, but like I don't have a lot more time to do another project, which is why like if I can just use the time I'm doing a little smarter and give everybody like a taste of something that they enjoy, like I think it's going to work out a lot better. So that's the whole impetus behind the Talk 20, and why I do it in the middle of the lunchbox and stuff. Like, so I'm really digging doing them. And like I said, I'm going to continue doing them. Whether or not I do the top 20 anymore has nothing to do with that, because I think this is a solid idea, and it gives me a really good, quick way to touch base with artists that are out there busting their ass and doing good stuff and doing good work and stuff like that. And again, it doesn't even just have to be artists and stuff like that. Like, there's definitely a lot of other people. Like, I've talked to some photographers, I've talked to some promoters, I've talked to other podcasters and stuff like that. So there's going to be other stuff coming up. But my point is, if you want to check out the one with Rally V, it's out now on Strangerhood TV. You can check it out. And check out all the other good content there. I will say it's only the third one, but to date it is my favorite beginning of anyone, because what happened, if you check it out, like what happens is like my picture comes up first and I'm just like constantly looking like dog shit lately. It's just getting worse and worse and worse. Like, it's not getting better. It's just getting worse and worse. And I don't know if you've ever been stunned by your own appearance, but like that's exactly what happened. When the camera came on, I was like, ugh. It was one of those, and I just made reference to that. But before, like, Rally, he connected audio, because audio always connects first and then video. But, like, as soon as, like, I'm like, oh, God, I look like shit today. He's like, what do you mean, man? You look fantastic. And I'm like, dude, I so needed to hear that. But he was a great interview, a really cool dude. I know he hit it off really good with Mikey and Jimmy from Bacon Is My Podcast. So he might just even be up here and hanging out or something. Like, and if we do end up throwing in, like, another New to You together, maybe we'll schedule it around him, because I would definitely like to see what he's doing up on stage, because I think that would be dope to check out. And like I said, he's a cool dude anyway, so even just hanging out would be fine. But I did play his new song, which was Problems, last week, because I am a good host and a good promoter and a good partner to the music scene. But now he is not on here to be interviewed, so I'm going to play my favorite from Rally V, and that bitch is Bonnie and Clyde, and I've got it for you right now on the box.
You're wasting my time. Used to be partners, Bonnie and Clyde. Used to stay up with you singing Sublime. Now when I hear them, it kills me inside.
Damn, what a crime. Wasting my time. Used to be partners.
I'm not sure what they're putting in the water over at Nonpoint Industries Incorporated, but god damn it, this new record is so good.
Hard Rock Lunch Box.
Man, it is hard to find a Seven Dust song I don't like, but man, I like the new one a lot. So, in further exploring things that may or may not belong on the Hard Rock Lunchbox, as you may know, I am a big fan of Halsey. I have been for quite a long time. I actually found her or heard of her for the first time from the HBO show Roadies, which I thought was a fantastically wonderful show. I really dug it. It was just a total bummer that it was only one season. I thought it was really well done, and it also highlighted a lot of these kind of, at the time, up-and-coming artists, which I thought was brilliant. I am such a big fan of that. In fact, I actually read a post from the dude that was responsible for the News 12 acoustic stuff, Mike Dratska. I don't know how to pronounce his last name, but he was talking about maybe trying to do something like that for Newsday, and I even said on there, yeah, man, like, that's a really good idea, especially right now where everybody's leaning towards local. People are shying away from bigger and bigger shows because it's just generally not safe. So they're going for these kind of local things. It might be high time that Newsday actually put some effort into supporting its local scene. Most other scenes have something like that, and Long Island doesn't at all. Like, at all. And it's terrible, but we could talk about it in another show. Anyway, and also, like, I've got absolutely no feedback on that post or comment about it, and I'm guessing it's because my posts are being taken out of people's feed, so that's always fun. Thanks for that. But yeah, so I like Halsey. I don't like everything she does. Her genre is definitely not in my main genre, so every now and then there's a crossover, but she is, like, I wanted to cover Without Me in the Worst Way, and then my friends out in Chicago did it, and that sucks, so I couldn't do that. I loved her duet with Machine Gun Kelly. You can take or leave Machine Gun Kelly, or like him if you want. I happen to like him, but that's cool. But I really dug that, and I've been spinning some other stuff from her new song. And this one hit me on the release radar the other day. And at first, I didn't like it, but I will say there was some stuff in it that really harkens back for me. When I first started working with my producer, my current producer, I was in a band of his, and the band was called Rihanna Page, and it was named after Rihanna because Rihanna was the singer. Rihanna, in case you've forgotten, is the woman that sings the duet with me on Quiet Mind off the Reality Crush. So anyway, the reason I know them is because I was in their band a million years ago, and they were doing kind of this sort of funky level stuff back then, and I think that that's kind of what I heard. But it was nice to hear, like, how it would have gone if we had been able to evolve that, like, another 10, 15, 20 years and stuff like that. And I think that that might be what I like about the song, or it could just be a really good song with some really cool choices in it. And I gotta tell you, as I get a little older in my songwriting and stuff, I'm finding the more dangerous choices are way more appealing. And even if you don't like it right away, like, there's something to harken back to, like, why does that stand out? Why was that so good? Why am I still singing it even if I didn't like it? Did I like it? Of course you liked it. It's Halsey. It's on the box.
Hard Rock Lunch Box.
Sometimes it is so goddamn good to just hear a classic. And the fact that The Used at this point are a classic, it just, not much could make me feel older. It has been ages since I've seen The Veer Union. I couldn't even tell you when, but man, they were good, and I love the fact that they still keep plugging away, and they keep, it's not that they keep changing direction, but it feels like they keep trying, because they're a really good band, and I've always thought that they've been hit or miss with some songs, and some of their songs, like Seasons, I'm a huge fan of Seasons, I thought was just really good and just underexposed for some reason, but they're out there working all the time, and they're always trying, and they put out new music all the time, and they've got a new one out called Standing My Ground, while Seasons is still securely my favorite. I gotta tell you, I'm digging the direction it's going. It's a little more screamo, and yes, I'm a little jealous that I can't do that, but that's their problem, or that's my problem, not theirs. It's The Veer Union on the box.
Hard Rock Lunch Box.
I think we discussed this once before, but are there actual measurement, like, units of how much somebody has to pee? Like, on the Fujita scale for, like, tornadoes and stuff like that? Like, is it, like, a pee Judas scale? Like, I don't know what it is, but, like, if it's out of 10, I'm approaching the high nines, but I'm going to ride this out and get to the end of the box. It's 13 minutes. I think I can do it. But if for some reason all the signal goes dead, then I didn't make it. That's okay. That sound means only one thing. It's time for your weekly Craving of the Week. As I was just scanning through the incredibly extensive Craving Strange catalog I have here in the box libraries, I was just totally remembering, like, one of my favorite things in dealing with all the Craving Strange stuff over the years has really been the different album covers and stuff like that and the work that's kind of gone into them and stuff like that. I love whenever I'm included in that process. I love also being a fan and being surprised by that process. But I think one of the best stories to date is still the cover of A Life Exceptional, because they were just going through, like, photos, like, as any band has done, or most bands have done. Like, you just go through photo after photo. And they just sort of stumbled upon this photo of this young kid with a homemade jetpack and cape, I think. I don't even remember. Actually, the record, I can actually reach the CD from here, but I'm still too lazy. And I am dealing with this very full bladder situation. So, no unnecessary moves, if you know what I mean. So, but I love that they came across something that was just so speaking to the record. I mean, the record, I think, in my opinion, I don't want to put words in Jimmy's mouth, but I feel like this was like the last positive message record that Craving Strange was going to put out, because I think at that point Jimmy had gotten tired of trying to be positive in an uber-negative world. And as much as I welcomed him with open arms to the dark side of the force, like, it still was a beautiful sentiment, right? A Life Exceptional, this kid that built a jetpack standing in the middle of his home street about to fly, maybe, you know? The fact that it would totally be something that Tommy would have done if we had let him just adds to the beauty of the actual story, but still, man, I hate to see anybody giving up on that sort of optimism and all that other stuff, so I hope it's not totally gone, but man, what a moment in time that record captured, and that record cover. So, good job, and here's the title track from that very record. It's your weekly Craving of the Week with Craving Strange. Bye-bye.
Caught a ride, disillusion with this life. Revolution takes its time. Resolution. I know that we can live a life exceptional. I know that memory can change your life. I know that if I ever have a chance, I'll be everything that you are now. Execution of a lie, retribution for my life. Prostitution of the mind, revolution. I know that we can live a life exceptional. I know that memory can change a lot. I know that if I ever have a chance, I'll be everything that you are not. Every day will we choose our life? Will we live it back?
Lunch Box.
Yeah, probably not the best way to end the show. Sorry if I tanked everybody's mood. I will make up for it right now. I'm sorry I talked too goddamn much. I'm sorry we're going to go 2 or 3 minutes over, but that's life in the Hard Rock Lunchbox. Thank you all for listening. We'll be back again next week, and we'll do this all again. Let me know if there's anybody you want me to add to the interview list for the Talk 22. You can always reach me at hardrocklunchbox@gmail.com. Of course, all criticisms and negative comments over at Monty@cravingstrange.net. And I will see you all next week. Take this next song as my formal apology for going over time, and I hope you forgive me. Have a cigar.
Hard Rock Lunch Box.